On this week's episode of Wildcard, actor Chris Pine tells us it's okay not to be perfect.
My film got absolutely decimated when it premiered, which brings up for me one of my primary triggers or whatever is like not being liked.
I'm Rachel Martin. Chris Pine on how to find joy in imperfection. That's on NPR's new podcast, Wildcard, the game where cards control the conversation.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Windsor Johnston. Student protesters at colleges and universities across the nation are ramping up their calls to end Israel's war in Gaza. In New York City, students at Columbia University have barricaded themselves into a building that was the site of demonstrations in the 1960s. NPR's Brian Mann reports the university is now threatening to suspend students.
Students are still maintaining that core encampment on the campus green, and they're inside the Hamilton Hall, dozens of students right now. What appears clear is that this effort by Columbia University to try to end this by pressuring students with the threat of discipline, so far that appears to have backfired.
That's NPR's Brian Mann reporting from Columbia University. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is meeting with officials in Jordan today to address the humanitarian crisis in Gaza. The Biden administration says not enough aid is getting into the region over land, so the U.S. military is building a floating pier offshore. NPR's Lauren Frere reports from Tel Aviv.
U.S. Central Command shared photos on social media of U.S. troops building this floating pier off the north coast of Gaza. It's got a helipad, forklifts, and shipping containers on deck. The plan is for aid to be loaded onto commercial ships in Cyprus. They'll sail to this platform where pallets will be loaded onto trucks, which will then drive onto smaller ships that'll connect to a metal floating causeway attached to Gaza's shore by the Israeli military. The Pentagon says it'll cost at least $320 million and be up and running next month. In the aftermath of Hamas's October 7th attack, Israel has restricted food, water, and medicine deliveries to Gaza's more than 2 million residents, and the UN says famine is imminent. Lauren Freyer, NPR News, Tel Aviv.
A federal appeals court has issued a ruling in favor of transgender patients in North Carolina and West Virginia. NPR Selena Simmons-Duffin reports advocates say it's a huge victory.
The Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals heard two cases, one from North Carolina, the other from West Virginia. In an 8-6 decision, the majority decided that trans patients enrolled in state health plans are entitled to coverage for gender-affirming care. The opinion called the denial of coverage, quote, obviously discriminatory. Tara Borelli argued the case for the plaintiffs. She's senior counsel with Lambda Legal.
We're absolutely thrilled that the court ruled that discriminatory treatment just has no place under the law.
Both states have condemned the decision and suggested that they will appeal to the Supreme Court. Selena Simmons-Duffin, NPR News.
This is NPR. As parts of Tennessee clean up from tornado damage, the Central Plains is bracing for more severe weather later today. Forecasters say areas from western Arkansas to southeast Illinois and Tennessee can expect severe thunderstorms with damaging wind and large hail possible. The chief executive of Paramount Global is out. Paramount is the parent company of CBS, MTV, and Comedy Central. NPR's David Folkenflik reports the ouster is part of a broader fight over the conglomerate's future.
Controlling owner Sherry Redstone took over what's now Paramount amid a blizzard of lawsuits and legal threats. She has been negotiating over a possible sale to Skydance Media and David Ellison, the son of the billionaire founder of Oracle. CEO Bob Bakish and some shareholders have argued the deal was largely constructed to benefit Redstone. Other Paramount executives questioned Bakish's leadership directly to the board before his ouster. Ellison has sweetened the deal for some shareholders, but some investors still say alternate deals would be more lucrative. Threats of lawsuits present once more. David Folkenflik, NPR News.
The U.S. Soccer Federation and its counterpart in Mexico have dropped their joint bid to host the Women's World Cup in 2027. The two countries say they will try again in 2031. A plan put together by Germany, the Netherlands, and Belgium, and a separate bid by Brazil will be considered when the FIFA Congress meets next month. I'm Windsor Johnston, NPR News in Washington.
Listen to this podcast sponsor-free on Amazon Music with a Prime membership or any podcast app by subscribing to NPR News Now Plus at plus.npr.org. That's plus.npr.org.